Remember that, Ed? Acts 2.38 last week. Can anyone, now this is a test, by the way, this is a test. This is the real thing.
Acts 2.38 last week, we studied that. Do you have it there, Ed?
I have the verse, yes.
Yes, could you read that to me?
Acts 2.38, when Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
All right. That's a very important passage in the Bible. And does that teach baptism and salvation, by the way? Everyone's talking about that? Remember what we studied last week? I gave you a little better translation of that. Do you remember what it was, Ed? How about you, Doug?
I
don't
know.
What?
I don't think I was here last week.
Oh, you were? Yeah. What? I can't remember who was here and who wasn't. Jessica.
You said that instead of
saying,
where do they listen to
the
Jesus?
Oh, I tell you what, she got 100% on that. Did you say that?
Well,
Eight months. What?
Jesus.
That's right. Act 2. And that's because of the remission of sin. Because of, that is the Greek word ace, remember? And it means in reference to, and you have to translate the sentence, the subject of the sentence, has, you have to have that in mind before the preposition can be translated. And here it should be translated because of the remission of sin. And we talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever one is saved, any time that a person is saved, they become a member of the family of God, okay? And they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in them. All right? We talked about a special work. It was called the gift of the Holy Spirit before he comes back. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. We talked about people out there in the world. You know, a lot of people believe they're saved, but they don't know they're saved forever or not. Why do Baptists believe that they will have, why do Baptists know they're saved forever?
Because they're not.
Well, yeah. But where is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Where does it reside? In the ecclesia. What are those ecclesias? Remember this one? First, all right. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the special leadership of the Holy Spirit is in the church. That's where you get the comfort. And thanks, and that's where God wants you to serve him, is in his churches. There is no place in the Bible where you see somebody being saved and just going on and on. They want to go to church, didn't they? They did. That was the purpose of it. So the gift of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of it is in the ecclesia. Okay? And that's what it says down there at the end of that verse. Could you read that for me again, Ed?
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
There you are. We're not talking about the indwelling. It's not the indwelling. When you're saved, you receive the indwelling. All right? But when you follow your Lord in service and dedication of your life, that's when you go and you do what you're supposed to be doing. It's as simple as that. All right? You go following. And that's why you hear so many times, Baptists are the only ones that know they're saved. There's more to that than what meets the eye for many people. We know we're saved because the Bible teaches that. There is security as a believer in when you know the Word of God. And the Word of God was handed down to us. I'm not trying to build up the church that's bigger than the Lord. Don't you understand that? But there is where he can, the authority. Remember when we turned to Matthew 16 there? Last week. Remember that one? Matthew 16 and 18. This is the first part of this lesson is a test. Well, let's see if you were listening last week. Ed, have you got that one?
All right. Matthew 16 and verse 18.
And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, gates of Hades shall not prevail against thee.
All right. And I say unto you, and I also say unto you, that you are Peter.
Now we know what Peter meant. It was the ending of the word that made the difference for him. Okay, he's a stone or a pebble, a piece of a large rock. Okay?
And then we come to it says and there, but it really shouldn't be translated and because that's a strong adversative conjunction. I'm throwing these big words at you and I don't mean to flabbergast you. I mean to tell you that there is he's talking to Peter and then he says, but. That's natural. Now this is not the Catholic nor the Protestant interpretation of the scripture I'm giving you. I'm giving you a plain old Baptist one. And the reason why I call it Baptist one is because that's the way the language translates it. That's why. That's the true translation of this. And you're not going to get this in even every Baptist church throughout the world. People just get this.
Make sure that the Baptist has a wrong as well as the Bible.
Oh, I do. I definitely do. Sometimes I get my head chopped off. And I have got that a few times. Some things we practice today are not what we practiced 1,000 years ago. A lot of those things, as a matter of fact. And we have to back up and take a new shot at it sometimes. The reason why we do the things that we do today. All right, but this is one of the historical, what they call a Baptist interpretation of it. But you won't see that in any commentary. You might find it in J.R. Gray. You might find it in the first one. I can't even remember the name. I'm going to forget it for now. Anyway, it's a different one. Read it the way it should be translated there.
But then
also
unto thee,
thou art
Peter, but upon this rock.
What kind of rock? Abram, like the rock of Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. All right? The one that Peter talked about in his letters later. The rock that the church was founded upon. It wasn't Peter. No. The rock was Christ. A great deep foundation rock. Big cornerstone, remember? Big cornerstone. In the Old Testament, it was the rock of offense. The foundation stone that was rejected by the builders. Now do you see the subject and where it agrees with the rest of the Bible? Now if you founded that church upon Peter, you throw the rest of the Bible out of order, wouldn't you? You would just be helter-skelter. It would not rhyme, it would not reason, it would be out of order. But many people are going to teach that. You're going to sit and listen to many congregations, and they're going to get up and they're going to teach that. That's what Peter that was founded upon, but it wasn't. Founded upon Christ. Peter did not die for your sins. Did he? No way. Didn't die for mine. Jesus died for my sins. All right. Read the rest of that now. I had to go on with it a little further, because some of you may not have been here. Who's thee there? That's plural. Who made up the church back at this time? Who made up the church? The apostles and some other converts. There were some other ones that were followers. But the first gift that he placed in the church was what? The first gift that was placed in the church was what, Ed? Apostles. When did you do it? Way back in his ministry. When he ordained them apostles and sent them out with what we call a limited commission. Way back
then, about
They were the apostles. They were apostles.
The only thing that happened on the day of Pentecost was the empowering of that assembly. It didn't begin there. It began at the seashore of the Galilee when he called it out. The ecclesia. Now, when you get all this stuff straightened out of your head, do you see how it flows?
For the rest of the Bible, you don't have any kind of little problem.
When Jacob's walk in a dream of a ladder, is that like a foreshadowing of upon the rock of
Well, upon this rock, yeah, no commentary is going to give you the interpretation that I've got, except John A. Broderick, J.R. Gray, if you've got some of those, none of the popular ones, because they're all what we call Protestants. That's the three-day Protestants, they were way before.
Does it have to do with the
Jacob's rock? That's a different thing. No, I don't really. But if you go back and read all of the old commentary, old writings of these people, you'll find this interpretation. But you're not going to find it in any commentary, because they don't see it, because they aren't here. So they get there. That's all they don't see. And it's so simple, isn't it? The interpretation of it is so simple. Why doesn't the Christian world see it? If there's not a special leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's why.
You're going to see things unfold before you when you study the Word of God, and it's going to make you shout with glory and say, "Thank you, God, for guiding me this way." It just doesn't happen by accident. There's no accidents out there. And the only way that God's leadership of the Holy Spirit is through this assembly and the work through it. That's the only way to lead. If you don't go that way, you're not going to have the assurance. Salvation, of the knowledge of the Word of God that you do know. And not only that, when I've gone and visited churches, I hear them, Baptist churches preached in like Protestants. I do. You do that. And they call themselves Protestants. Well, maybe they are. The first Baptist was John the Baptist. He was the first bishop. And it came down all the way down to, then we have those to be baptized. By the way, I was taught with them. They bring back John's baptism, didn't they? John's baptism.
That's where it came from. It goes back to that. And they were called Weeder Paupers and Anabaptists. Anna.
No, I didn't agree. It wasn't supposed to be in Greek, it was supposed to come out in English.
Anabaptists. What does this mean? Does anybody know?
It's two words actually. They call them Anabaptists, it's one word, but it's
the four are again. Okay. Now, what would you say when you saw this word, though? Doug, what would you say when you saw the word Anabaptist?
Did you think that was somebody against the Baptist?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that word?
I have heard
those donations from Anabaptist. Doesn't mean they were anti-Baptist. It's Anna. That means to baptize again. All right. You find out people in the Bible, some of them were out there wandering around and they didn't have the script for baptism, so they baptized them again. Taught more truth, fully the true way. All right. That was the first case of Anabaptism in the Bible there, in the book of Acts. Anyway, Anabaptists, they would not accept the baptism
of those that are called astray from the Word of God and the teaching of the Scriptures. And when they come to them, they say, you need to be baptized. Well, I've always been baptized. They said, well, you've been baptized with right baptism. We're going to baptize you again. Baptized again. That's what Hannah means.
You studied history. Okay. Howie, that's your test for last week now. Any questions about this at all?
Nothing.
All right. Let's go back to the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now that you've finished with your test here. You did well, by the way. Thank you back there for giving me that 100% A-plus report. Good, that's the way you do it. If you've ever seen my Bibles, you can hardly read the printing. Sometimes somebody says, I opened my Bible up someplace one time, and this woman says, oh no! She jumped up and took off running. That guy's destroyed his Bible, a sacred thing. He's a terrible person. He's just ruined that Bible.
Well, I didn't really mean to ruin it. I just make a little notes in it. Yeah, a lot of little notes, about 30 years of them, actually. But actually, I wore out other Bibles before these. I have a lot of other ones that are marked up just like these. I gave one to my oldest boy, one to my next one down. They're all marked up just like these are, but I went into the different, well, formats in them is what they are. I went into different formats to go from. I'm thinking about getting another one and start marking it up. They've got some real good study Bibles out. All the stuff that I had to do in my head and write all in my Bible, some of it are in Bibles now. Huh? Well, both of these have different covers on them than what they came with. This is not, see, this is a Greek interlinear.
It's King James over here in the Greek and English. And it says on the outside, Holy Bible, Concordance Edition, Cambridge. It's not that. I found this cover in a Goodwill store. It was a real good cover, but the Bible was half the pages were torn out of it. So I took this brand new looking Bible cover and I put it on this old hardback Bible. The cover was all worn out and split down the sides and everything. Already wore it like that. So now, see, it looks like it really had this cover except this was worn out. And I don't think it'll take another cover because this the bindings about gone.
The same way with this one was a, I like the format in this. This is New American Standard.
But that's just a piece of cowhide, see? And I took the end. I took the oval off of it and glued it with that old contact in there. Glued both sides and just cut it right on there.
What proof is it?
And it's lasted 10 times longer than it would have. Looks a little better too than phrase here and phrase there. We found out that Israel arrived at Sinai. Took them 3 months. And then Moses came down from the mountain. We found out that the people were so proud that they said, we will just absolutely do
everything the Lord spoke. You ever look at the law of Moses and think you could ever keep up there? Oh, there's a whole lot of them. That was just 10 basic ones.
I thought we just discussed
it. Yeah. But that's where it worked all of that out. But do you think you could keep on 10? I never have. But that's why the Lord had to save me. You know, Jesus says that if you hate your brother, you get mad at him, that you already committed murder in your heart. You know, how many of you have never been mad at anyone? Is there anybody here that's never been mad at all in your life? You've never been mad at anyone? Well, I've had people get make me so mad sometimes I could just eat nails and spit them out. Chew them up. In verse 16 of the 19th chapter, it says, "So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder." Actually, it means great big sound. Great big sound and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound. Remember in the book of Revelation where it talks about the sounding of the trumpets? This is a very... It goes back... By the way, the book of Revelation, Revelation singular, not Revelation. There are many revelations in there, but it's called the book of Revelation. It talks about... it's written in Greek, but the language is actually in Hebrew. And it uses a lot of Hebrew idioms and things in the book of Revelation. And the grammar is not right in Greek. It's just all messed up. You look through there and you say, well, this isn't right at all. John was writing in Greek, but he was thinking Hebrew. Because the biggest part of the book of Revelation is to whom? To whom? Who? Yeah. Who's going to be over here? Who's this for? What's the purpose of the Revelation? The Great Tribulation Period. To bring them back to God. Because he is going to be glorified through Israel. The first time he came to them, they crucified him. So, they crucified Jehovah, the God of heaven. The second time he comes, they're going to be in such a mess that they're going to say, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. Come and save us. And then they're going to look at him and say, oh, look, you've got those holes in your hands and in your side, and all those stripe marks on your back. Where did you get them? And he'll say, where? In the house of my friend. What? Uh-huh. Your fathers. And what did those Jews say when Pilate says, I find no guilt in him? They said, let the guilt be upon us and our children. Boy, what a absolute curse they put on themselves. What a curse. Well, the Jews have been the most cursed people in history and the most blessed. Did you know that? Absolute fact. The most cursed and the most blessed. They curse themselves so many times. Right here, they take a burden on their backs that they don't know anything about. God drug them out of Egypt, drug them away from their idols. Had to beat their hands off of them. That's right. How many times when you were little children were growing up, they reach out and grab something, you slap their hand. Reach out and grab again, you slap their hand. They just hook. This happened for about 1,000 years, by the way, with God. You kept slapping their hands. Get their hands off of that idol. All the way over here. So they went into the Babylonian Assyrian captivity. When they came back to Israel, they didn't want any more gods, except one. But they grabbed the Bible and started worshiping it instead of God. And they worshiped Moses. They did not worship God. They would worship Moses. That's why God took Moses and buried him himself. They'd have been kissing those bones till this day, I'll tell you. They would have. There was great thunder and lightning, loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Have you ever thought about meeting God? Well, they did. They went out there, and his power, this is another, what you call a theophany, a display of God, so they could understand him. It's a condensation. That's when God condescends and comes down and shows a form of himself to mankind. He descends to their intellect so that he can make them understand. They could see. They knew he was powerful when they see all this lightning and everything up there. How many of you ever watched Star Trek movies? Remember that one where Spock's brother went out there and he wanted to find God and they went through this black hole and they found God out there and then he wasn't the kind of God that they were looking for. You know, all the right things there at first, but he wasn't quite the one. So they still didn't find him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God's out there. You don't have to go to outer space to find him. Wherever you are, he is, because he is omnipresent. We already said that, remember? But he wanted to display himself to them. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God and stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in a fire, and its smoke descended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Now, that's a pretty big mountain over there. We got a pretty good one right out here in our backyard, you know that?
What about if all the inhabitants of Fish Lake Valley went out there, thought about Perry Aiken Creek? And then there's what we call Patterson or Perry Aiken Creek. Right out there in the kind of the flats up there. And we send ahead up on top of the mountain. Top of the mountain. Whole black mountain. We up there. The top of that mountain. And the ground starts trembling. And the clouds descended on it, and they saw lightning and thunder, and the voice was like a trumpet. This really happened back then. Just picture yourself there. Ed's our leader. He is. We talked about that last week. He's God's man. I remember when Aaron first got his license, somebody said, but what kind of man are you going to lose to talk to your boss? Well, he learned all the
But that was kind of a joke. Remember that one? I think Bill asked you that one night on the radio. Just, hey, Ed, what kind of a antenna are you going to use to talk to your boss? Well, his boss is God, you know. Just to picture all of us out there, and this ground is shaking. You know what an earthquake feels like? How many of you ever felt an earthquake? Jennifer and Jessica? Has everyone here been in an earthquake? Have you ever been in a bad earthquake? You know, I was in one, and I think it was close to an 8 in Bakersfield. It was 7 point something, real up close to 8. Do you know what the 52 earthquake was? Yeah, somewhere there, pretty good. Pretty good earthquake. I saw the water thrown out of the canal. The river. Thrown out! Yeah. See that? I mean, you just saw the water go. The ground goes like this. Just jumps up and down and just waves. Just like you took the sheet and went like this. You ever done that? Just took a sheet and went like that. That's what it was like. It's hard to stand up. I never have been afraid of earthquakes, by the way. They don't bother me at all. I don't want to be in no tall buildings. But if you put me out here in a frame house or out on flat ground, I mean, just let the ground shake. I don't want to shake, man. I've been on a horse a lot harder than that. I tell you that much, and I hit the ground pretty hard a few times. I saw a lot of stars. So, that's a dirt earth shake. But I don't want to be in a tall building when it happens. Let it move around up there and shake and weave and bob and whatever. I worry about that sometimes. But I don't go up in tall buildings anyway, unless I absolutely have to. Anyway, we're out here at the foot of the mountain. The smoke is out there, and we hear these noises. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered to him with thunder. Now, it doesn't mean with thunder. It means with a thunderous sound. You ever heard someone that's
where in the world were we the other day? Yeah, I think somebody was talking to us. Maybe it wasn't us. Maybe me and somebody else. Well, they said this preacher was a great big old boy, and he used to stand up, and he didn't need a microphone to preach. And the walls just shook when he preached.
I thought that was
we were together.
Yeah.
Guy used to
go hunting with. He said his preacher back in Texas was so loud. He had such a loud voice that knocked the acorns off the tree. This is the kind of loud sound that we're talking about here. How many of you ever heard, remember here a few months ago when that piece of space junk went over? Were you here, Mom? Did you know anything about that? Why, they were... Oh, it was like a freight train derailed. And the ground was shaking. This happened. I thought somebody pulled an 18-wheeler or a half a dozen of them out in my front yard. And the sky lit up, boy, just like they come. This was only 2 months ago. Yeah. And they thought about it over at Bishop. They thought some comet or some airplane hit White Mountain. So they were looking all over the place for everything. Oh, what a mess. They finally figured out that it was space junk going over. But boy, this thing was wrong. This is the kind of sound that Israel heard. Remember, you're out there at the White Mountain now, and God's talking to you. What kind of sound?
Roaring. God spoke to them or answered them with a thunderous noise, something that just shook the ground. Remember one time when I was caught out there in that flash flood when lightning hit right in front of me. I mean, the ground, it felt like the ground jumped up and down. I'm sure it did.
How many of you ever been close to thunder?
Not that close.
No. Oh, boy. The lightning is what makes the thunder.
But I've seen it just about knock me down sometimes. I've been so close to it. When they climb up on top of these mountains up here, when you get up here in some of these summer thunderstorms, watch out. Well, we used to gather cattle and wild horses and things off of these mountains and get out there in some of these thunderstorms, and a horse has got 4 feet.
Better ground. We know that now with electricity and radio, don't we? How important the ground is. Right? Ham operators and out here.
You're wasting the horses, that's strong, but you need to be really close. You fall on
the less ground. Less ground. Mind you, the more feet you got on the ground or whatever, the more dangerous it is.
That's why cattle and horses get hit by lightning more. Because they got four grounds. The more grounds you got out there, the more paths for that lightning to go to the ground. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord and gaze, and many of them perish." All right, here Ed comes down. He says, "Now you people,
now, how many of you been up there on Patterson Creek?
Anybody hear that? Yeah, you can hear that. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, right up there toward the bottom down here, just above Dora and Janice's house, up there, the little campground. Have you been there? No, haven't been there. You've been up there? Oh, okay.
There's the first one right here.
Yeah, well, the one up above, behind my house. Oh, okay, so there's a little camp up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a log laying across the creek. And you can walk across that on the other side of the creek and go fishing, whatever, hiking up through there. Up there, Ed goes up there and says, "Now, you pick them up across the grass with your log. But God will kill you. Here all is glory." This is the place you can come. Only right here. You want me to tell you something tonight? Only right here. Heart, life. But the kind of glory of God is right here. Jesus said, "I'll be with you for the end of the day." And it keeps using in the Old Testament. The Holy of Holies in the temple and in the tabernacle of the Old Testament was called the Mahos. You know where God's Mahos is today? In his glory. protection. He was dangerous to get into the glory and close to God back then. And now we walk right in. When we assemble, he's with us. All around the glory. He doesn't shake the ground. He speaks to us softly now through his glory. Through his ministry. Through his teaching. But God is here just like he's just like he's right here all around us. Not down the line. But right here we're sitting on his heart. You ever cuddle a little child on your lap and tell them by the back door and fall? Just cuddle. That's what God does to his people in his assembly. Amen. Make you want to say amen? Say amen. You like that. Amen? Amen. All right. That's beautiful. Back in the Old Testament, when they walked into the tabernacle, the high priest went in there how many times a year? Once. He had bells on the bottom of his garment. Them bells could stop rattling. They were told to drag him out of there with a rope. Because he's dead. And God gives us access today. When he died, he was raised. That's right. You know what it told us? When that temple was built, they said 4.5 inches thick. That was a thick curtain. Give you a picture here. I was going to make some copies or something. When we get into the New Testament, we will. I'm going to give you two different things. By the way, the temple and tabernacle were not real big. Solomon's temple wasn't real big, but boy, I'll tell you something, it was elaborate, gold and silver. Right here was the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever a place, that mercy seat, was the place to where they met with God. In the New Testament, in several places, it says Jesus was our kenosmos. In the Old Testament, the word translated from Hebrew into that, by the way, was kafar. In Hebrew, kafar. Kafar.
The first time you see the word kafar in the Bible, you know what it was? God says, Moses, you, not Moses, but Noah, you take and you fix that ark with the people, the people. And you cover, you perform that ark, cover to fix the door. That word means covering. Jesus' blood covers our sins. All right?
The word in the New Testament, this mercy seat means the covering of the ark. Alright? It's called the covering of the ark. It says in the Bible, Jesus is our covering, our kenosmos. Again, here for the angel's wings went. I'm going to draw an angel because I'm a very poor artist and I have to get money to do that. But
I have a picture in the back of the Bible in that city.
You walk in here and you have the altar of incense, you had a table of showbread, and you had the candelabra or the candlestick. And only once a year did they go back in here to this Holy of Holies. This is called the Holy Place. And it was holy. But this was a holy of holies. Well, it's holy place in the world because that's where God said that will be my special dwelling place. Okay? In the temple, it was the same thing. They had the Ark of the Covenant in here. They had this gray, thick curtain. And only once a year did the high priest go in there. And they had the fear when they went in there. Because they didn't know what their sins. Well, that priest was covered in it. But today, all sin, all sin, the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't ever try to get into heaven any other way. Because you're going to burn out. That's it. There's no other way. No other way. The Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where God dwells with his people today. There's over and over in the New Testament.
God's special dwelling place is among His assembly to Him.
How do you see how important He is? When you follow God, you would say, I'm going to follow God. Well, follow God. You do that. You want all the protection of God? You want to meet with God and have Him put you on His lap and pat you on the back and hug you and care for you in this life? So you go where He is.
That's just the way it is. They went where God was here. They said, you stay away from here now, because this is holy ground. Now we can come right in, sit down, and commune with God. Commune with Him. That's what we're doing tonight. We're communing with the Lord. He said, don't you let them come any further, because they're going to perish, in verse 21 and verse 22. And also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. Make sure these priests are covered, consecrated. Make sure they got a bath. Got it. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you did warn us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it. The Lord said to him, go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest He break forth upon them. So Moses went down, and the people told them. He went down and he told these people something. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah your Elohim. Remember, every time that God speaks to His people, the covenant name of God is what? The covenant name of God. We have the something titles. The man needs a covering. The covenant name of God. What is it? Okay, Jehovah is the covenant name. Write that down in your Bible someplace. The covenant name of God, and of course there are Jehovah titles. And those Jehovah titles display or explain how God covers their sin at that time. In that place, it is like looking at God from different angles. That's the Jehovah titles. That the covenant God of Israel is Jehovah. And remember, they never spoke the name. They thought it was too holy.
And of course, when we say Jehovah, we don't speak the name either, because we can't say that. I don't think anybody has ever said that name. They said it was unspeakable. That's what they said. All said the name was unspeakable. They couldn't say it. We refer to that name as Jehovah. As far as I can see it in Hebrew, if you get here, that's all. That name was unspeakable. They referred to that name as the Word. So when John wrote the Gospel of John, he said, in the beginning was the Word. You know, Word? That's who he was referring to, the covenant God of Israel.
The covenant God of Israel. I am the Lord your God. I am your covenant God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. First thing, you shall have no other gods before me.
What do you have between you and God?
God do you have?
That's the first commandment. We shall have no other God before me between you and me. There is none other God before. We can make God sometimes, but between him and us. I feel sorry for people when I see them down praying with tablets and things. We have access right straight into the throne of God by trusting the same Father. He's our Father. Is he your Father? Is God your Father? If he is, then you have access to him.
You shall make for yourself no image. No graven image, or any likeness of what is in heaven, or above the earth, or beneath it, or in the water under the earth. Don't make any graven images and bow down and worship. You came out of Egypt now. Leave Egypt there. When we're saved out of the world, leave the world there. Drugs and all the old habits you had out there in the world, and all the alcohol and all that stuff, just leave it right behind where it belongs. You get over in the book of Revelation. We see people today on drugs and things, and that's the most important thing in the world, is drugs and alcohol. Why, they won't eat. But they got to choose between food and drugs. You know that? They don't choose not to eat. They will. The word in Hebrew or in the New Testament is pharmakia. Does that sound familiar? Pharmakia. Pharmacy. Drugs. Down on this earth in the last days, there will be drug pushers. Did you know that? That's what the book of Revelation says. Pharmacy and drug pushers.
Pharmacists, but not licensed ones. The ones standing out on the street corners.
The ones peddling the booze over the television. At football games and baseball games and all of this. It's all drugs and all of this. Peddling the drugs, the illegal ones and the legal ones. Peddling drugs peddlers in the mindset. There shall be no drug peddler to come out and leave that.
No drug peddlers up there.
But you know, there won't be any dogs in heaven either. That's what I'm saying. Dogs. See me out. We got our canine part. Canine. I'm not talking about the animals, I'm talking about homosexuals. God likes dogs, but he doesn't like homosexuals either. No matter how much they want to be like by God, make excuses for what they are, and God says they're giving up their natural affections.
And do that which is not natural. By the way, these are all idols that keep people from God. Well, then. God explains these sins out. And these are, you know, people say we don't worship idols today. But what is that thing that keeps you from God? And these are the things that keep most of the people in the world from God today. This is the excuses they have.
remember reading one of the little devotional books there that had that the church printer publication put down. This pastor went to this alcoholic. This guy was drunk and he was crying. We called him over there. He sat in there, he was sitting in there for all his sins come short of the glory. For there'll be no liars and no drug addicts and all this stuff. He's reading all these things. God hates this thing, God hates that thing. And oh, well, I'll tell him something. He said, preacher, read the good part. For Jesus loves me. Oh, yes. He loves you. The good part. The good part, the good thing, is that Jesus loves us. And he died for us. But Israel chose to live by this standard right here. What this standard was supposed to do is say, you people, you better trust in me. We'll do it. We'll do it. Proud. Pride goeth before the fall. You know, remember that? You shall not make for yourself an idol, an image of any likeness, things under the earth or the sky above or wherever. You shall not worship them or serve them. Superstition. Superstition. How many people are superstitious and not religious? You ever thought about that? Don't be superstitious, people. That's what it says here. Don't be superstitious. Worship me. Don't worry about all these little things out here in the world, all these other people bowing down to it, and why. You know what an Arab does? This is right. But when he throws something out there, he begs forgiveness for it hitting the ground. It might hit something. That's right. He does. He'll throw a banana peel out there, you know. He's up on his camel going down the road. Goes halfway out there, and he slings an old apple core or a banana out there. He says, oh, forgive me. He might hit something out there. Precious. You know. Sacred. Forgive me. I didn't mean to get you. But what they do, they're very superstitious.
Remember old Darius Sherwood Madden? He was over in India. One of my teachers.
Great big guy, about 6'6" and weighed about 350 pounds. I went through Israel with him on an archaeological tour. We were out there at Jordan, and they were shooting and bombing and going all over there. I mean, boom, 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 da 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 da. Rat tat tat, machine gun fire, all those places. And that makes me want to dig a fox hole. We were out there digging around in the ruins. So he was over there when they were fighting before in World War II.
He was over in India and he was over in Africa.
He said, those Indians over there deserve to go to hell. He said, those people out there won't even pick up a sprig of wood to build a fire with. It might be their Aunt Jane. That's that sprig of wood. They won't go chop off a limb. But he said, what they were doing out there, and he said, those dummies, we'd be laying gunfire across the mountain or whatever out there, blowing down trees. They'd run out there and grab them trees to see somebody else kill the trees. They didn't do it. Superstition. So they wanted to use it for firewood. But they wouldn't go chop the tree. They wouldn't go chop a limb.
This transmigration of souls is that you're born into this world, the real one is.
You're born with a free will. And there's some good words in the original language to tell you about this too. And the Hebrew word is the word for free will offering in the Old Testament. Freely doing something. Not by compulsion, but free will offering. Not the one that you had to do, but the one that you wanted to do from here. In the New Testament, prosumia, the freedom of serving God or coming to God. You know, God
by the way, in the book of Revelation where it says Jesus opens the door and knocks, he's not talking about people, he's talking about an assembly there. The church. The assembly. He's knocking on the door trying to get into the church. Not to the people's hearts. But using a figure of speech here, we have to keep that scriptural thing in mind. That God will put the key into your heart, the Holy Spirit. But you have to do that. He will touch your heart, but you've got to turn to Him. God will not force anybody to be saved.
I'm not a hard shell. We know what that is now, though, too, don't we? Hard shell, the predestinationist, and we know what particular Baptists are now, don't we? That's right. Yeah. You know, these terms now that people use out in the world. We know the Bible's view on that, too, don't we? God, when He touches people's heart with His Holy Spirit, He expects them to respond. But He won't turn the key and just make you respond. He wants you to respond. The only way He can save you is if you let Him. That's all it was. The only way that you'll ever serve God in this world is if you allow yourself to follow Him. And you walk and take those steps. He will not grab you in the bottom of that and pull you and make you do it. He wants your free will offering of your life and your life, your daily life. Walk because you love Him. One step at a time. I am a jealous God. Oh. Now, we look at jealousy today as something that's terrible, don't we? I am a jealous God in verse 5. I, the Lord your God, your covenant God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the third and fourth generations on those who hate me. And we talked about that earlier.